Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Vamud Bet, 4 lines from the bottom. Itmar, so here we have a statement of Rabbi Yochanan qualifying Rabbi Akiva's position in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan, ki amar Rabbi Akiva zrika moelet liyotzei. When Rabbi Akiva says in the Mishnah that zrikat adam helps for something that left the azara. So if you have basar that left the azara, you do zrikat adam, it is able to remove the mi'ilah from it, as well as bring it into the world of pigul notar v'tameh. So that statement in Rabbi Akiva is qualified by shiyatza miksato. That's only if a portion of the basar left. Ava yotzei kulo, lo amar Rabbi Akiva. But had the whole basar left, then Rabbi Akiva would not have made that statement. Bali Tosafot just explained the logic, which is, the migo, the mahani zrika, lahai the gavai, ahani nami lahai the berai. Just like the zrika helps the basar that's still inside, so migo, that there is a function for the zrika in terms of the basar, so too it impacts on the basar that's bar yatsa. As opposed to the case where the entirety of the basar is outside, there's no migo, because the zrikat adam has no effectiveness on any object internally, and therefore it doesn't help that which is external. Now it happens to be that this is a machloket that we saw in the Gemara in Zvachim as well as in Psachim between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua argue about a situation in which you have basar that either is yotzei or disappeared or got ruined. So over there, first of all, everybody agrees if you have miksat habasar bifneim and miksat b'chutz that you can be zorek the dam on that miksat habasar. And it's miratzeh, and it works to be efficacious in terms of the korban. The question between them, of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, is what happens if the entirety of the basar is outside, or the entirety of the basar was ruined? Is that a condition of doing zrikat adam and processing the korban? And so, if you have a murim and no basar, or you have basar and no a murim, what is the situation there? So Rabbi Eliezer is of the belief that you don't need basar in order to process the korban. And even if the entirety of the basar is outside, it doesn't matter. You're still able to process the korban. If you do the zrikat adam, it's miratzeh. The person is yotzei with bringing up that korban. Yeshua, on the other hand, says if the basar is missing or completely gone, then you cannot do zrikat adam, or you should not do zrikat adam. If you do it anyway, even though you weren't supposed to, it is miratzeh. It is successful at discharging the obligation of the individual to bring such a korban. Question is, Rabbi Akiva's position here, at least according to Rabbi Yochanan, does that follow Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Yeshua? Or is this a third opinion? From here, it seems like that Rabbi Akiva believes if all the basar had left, then the zrika would not be efficacious. The zrika would not remove the mi'ilah. That would seemingly be against both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer clearly believes if there's no basar, you can do zrikat adam. So he clearly thinks the zrikat adam is effective, even without the basar being internal. Rabbi Yeshua says, l'chatchila, you shouldn't do the zrikat adam. But even he believes, b'diavad, if the zrikat adam was done, it is efficacious, and the person has discharged their obligation. So that seems to be that Rabbi Akiva even disagrees with that point, because he's saying here, when all the basar is out, the zrikat adam is not effective in taking off the mi'ilah. Ela imkein, you are mechalek between ritzui of the adam and the removal of mi'ilah. And in that way, Rabbi Akiva then could possibly fit into the shita of Rabbi Yoshua, because Rabbi Yoshua is speaking about ritzui adam. When it comes to ritzui adam, the zrikat adam is the primary aspect of the korban. And the zrikat adam is done, even though the basar should have been here and you needed it, but b'diavad, if it was gone or outside, that won't be an ikuv for the ritzui of the adam. On the other hand, for the capacity for that zrikah to remove the mi'ilah from the basar, that is a different question. That's not a question as to whether the zrikat adam is effective. That's a question as to whether the basar is in a position to have the zrikat adam affected. And in that way, you could differentiate between Rabbi Yeshua's opinion there and Rabbi Akiva here, because as far as the zrikah is concerned, the zrikah is a fine zrikah. The only question we have, and that's what Rabbi Akiva is trying to address, is when you have a fine zrika, what impact does that have on the basar, or can it affect the basar that's already outside? So in that way, you can reconcile between Rabbi Akiva's position here and that of Rabbi Yoshua. So now, Amar Le Rav Asi, the Rabbi Yochanan, that's the girsa that we have, that Rav Asi is now addressing a question to Rabbi Yochanan. And the question is, Kvarlim Duni Chaveirai Shibigola. I was already taught by my peers in the Gola. Michashvim ala avud v'ala saruf. One can have a machshevet pigul on something that is lost or something that is saruf. Lost means you don't know where it is. Saruf means you do know where it is. It just doesn't exist anymore. So you can have a machshevet pigul on either of these items. V'ha avud v'saruf lo itinun ba'olam. And avud v'saruf don't exist in the world. They're not present. Filu hachi. And despite that fact, Tani michashvin, that a machshevet pigul is successful at devolving upon those items. And so the evidence that we're trying to bring here is that if the zrikat adam that you do with a machshava of chutz lizmano or chutz lekomo with regards to make the basar pigul, this machshava at zrika on those items, that whether it's the basar or the emurim that are avud and saruf, that machshava is effective. So since that machshava is effective, it shows you that you don't need the item intact for your machshava to be impactful. And so too over here, just because the basar is not present, why can't the zrika be effective at removing the mi'ilah from the basar? So that's the question that's posed by Rav Asi to Rabbi Yochanan. If machshava by pigul is successful with items that don't exist or items that are out of your range right now because they're a loss, then that shows you that zrika is powerful enough to overcome the deficit of something being pasul, something being out of range, out of sight, even non-existent. Then why can't zrika be powerful enough to remove the mi'ilah from something that was yotzei? The Baal HaTosafot over here, commenting on something that they said on the Mishnah that we mentioned yesterday, which is that Rabbi Kiva's shita is uniquely associated with yotzei. He thinks zrikat adam has the ability to overcome yotzei and remove the mi'ilah from it. But he does not believe that by other psulim, which are more chamur. That's what Tosafot said yesterday on the Mishnah. And Tosafot, based on that, says here, I don't really understand how Rav Asi is a question of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan could just say, you're talking about pigul, I'm talking about yotzei. Pigul and yotzei are not the same thing. So therefore, just because pigul is effective on those things that are outside, who says that zrika is going to be effective on yotzei that is completely outside? And that's what Tosafot says. Avir kasha, maya tshuva sheishiv Rav Asi al divrei Rabbi Yochanan. What's the question? Demidabit sharm psulim, the yotzei. That he says that other psulim are the same as yotzei. Other psulim are different than yotzei. That's what we said in the Mishnah. It says, v'chein li'ir alik girsat ha-sfarim. It says, I think the girsa of the sfarim that say, shegorsim amar Rabbi Asi. That it wasn't that amalei Rav Asi the Rabbi Yochanan, but rather amar Rabbi Asi. It's an independent statement. Rav Asi is making a statement. It's nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan. Not a question of Rabbi Yochanan. It's brought over here because of the issue of zrika or makshava affecting things that are yotzei, that are outside. We'll see how that plays out in the Gemara. But it's not a question of Rabbi Yochanan. It's a completely independent question that Rav Asi is asking over here. What the Baal HaTosafot point out, then how to parse the sentence is a little different. The way that we have it, it's Amar Rav Asi, the Rabbi Yochanan, Kvarlim Dunei Chavirei Shebegola, Michashvim Ala Avud Vala Saruf. That's the statement of Rav Asi. And now, to enhance the question, we say, Ha'avud V'Saruf Lo Atinam Be'olam. They don't exist. So that's the end of the question now. That's the question of Rav Asi. If you read it as Amar Rav Asi, and it's not a question, but an independent statement, then you would read it differently. You would read it as, Kvarlim Dunei Chavirei Shebegola, Michashvim Ala Avud Vala Saruf. Period. That's the statement of Rav Asi. Now the questioner, who's opening up a question now, says, "V'ha'avud b'saruf lo atinam ba'olam, v'achilu ha'chik tani machashvin." Isn't avud b'saruf something that doesn't exist, and you still say that you can have machshava? Umi amar Rav Asi ha'chik. Did Rav Asi really say that? So the ha'avud b'saruf lo atinam ba'olam, if you think it's a question of Rabbi Yochanan, then it belongs to that first statement as an enhancement of the question of Rabbi Yochanan. If you think that Rav Asi is an independent statement, then the Va'avud V'Saruf Lo Atinam Ba'olam is a part of the new question that we're about to ask, a stira within the shita of Rav Asi. Either way, the Gemara is going to ask that stira, but how you parse the Gemara will depend on whether you think Rav Asi is a question of Rabbi Yochanan or whether it's an independent statement. The Baal HaTosafot favors saying that it's an independent statement because they don't see the correlation between pigul and yotzei. So the Gemara says, "Umi amar Rav Asi hachi, Did Ravasi really say such a thing? Hal boy mine Ravasi mi Rabbi Yochanan? Didn't Ravasi ask Rabbi Yochanan the following? Chishev la nishpachim le machar. Mahu. A person has a machshevet pigol with regards to nishpachim. Those things that are going to be poured into the yisod of the mizbeach. And question is, can you have a machshevet pigol with regards to these items? Rashi over here says, the question is one of the two following cases. Either, nishpachim shayadam shayushofech liyasodim izbeach, mekami bailet. Chishev b'shat shvichat shiraim. If he has a machshova while he's doing the pouring of the dam into the yasodim izbeach, aman nat lechol kazayit chutz lizmano, dainu lemachar, mau. Can you have a machshevet pigol while you're doing the avoda of putting shayrei adam, the leftover dam, on the yisodim izbeach? There's the chorus rika that you do, and then whatever dam is left over gets poured into the yisodim izbeach. If they are kodashim that are done b'chutz, they go into the yisod dromi, and if it is something that was done bifnim, then it goes into the yisod amaravi. So the question is that pouring of the dam similar to zrikat adam, whereby you can have machshevet pigol during the shvichat adam? That's one possibility. Inyan Acher says the other possibility is, Amar Amorech Yishev L'Nishpachim L'Machar, Shebishat Zrika. The time he's doing the regular Zrikat Adam, he has in mind to pour the Shiraim L'Machar to the Yisod. And we know that when it comes to Pigol, you can have Pigol with regards to a Machshova about Achilat Adam and Achilat Mizbeach. Whether it's Basar that the Adam's going to eat, or it's the Emurim or the Basar that's going on the Mizbeach, that's where you can have Machshova Pigol. Since this dam is going to be poured into the Mizbeach, onto the Yisod of Mizbeach, so it's like Achilat Mizbeach. And the question here is, can you have a Machshevet Pigol on that item? Is it considered to be Achilat Mizbeach enough that you can have a Machshevet Pigol during the Zrikat Adam on this item? So those are the two options Rashi brings as to the question the Ravasi posed to Rabbi Yochanan with regards to Nishpachim. You look in the Balei HaTosafot, they say, Ein Lefaresh. Don't explain it, and they give both things that Rashi brought down. They say the first item that Rashi brought down, the Gemara says explicitly, is not pigol, because you can only have machshevet pigol during the arba avodot. You can't have it during the pouring of the dam into the yisod. It's already past the four avodot. Shechita, kabbalah, holacha, zrika. Those are the only avodot whereby it's meaningful to have a machshevet pigol. Over here, you're already past that point. Don't say, he says, that the question is, if you did Zrikat Adam to pour the Shiraim, the Machar, because that's also Pshita, that there is Pigol, because it's considered to be Achilat Mizbeach. And since you had the Machshava during the Arba Avodot, then certainly when you pour something onto the Mizbeach, that's Achilat Mizbeach, and it will be a Machshevet Pigol. Elanir the Ri. The Ri says that he thinks this is the question that's being asked here. Gabayim Machshay Vishat Holacha is the gears of the Tzon Kodashim. Amanat Yizrok Adam Shenishpach Minakli LeMachar. While he was walking, some of the dam that they had collected into the utensil spilled out. And then he has a machshava to vizorek the dam that fell on the floor tomorrow. Because we have a Mishnah in Zvachim. The Mishnah in Zvachim says if the dam spills on the floor and you gather it up and put it in the mizbeach, it's no good. If it already was collected in a kli and then falls on the floor, then you can collect it and it is good dam. The question now is, if he wants, he can go back, pick up the dam that's on the floor, and utilize it for Zrikat Adam. So since he can do that, does that have impact in terms of pigul? Odil mahov ein mitzvah lospo, since you're not obligated, or there's no mitzvah to go and collect it from the floor, habalei holech li'ibud. It's as if it doesn't exist at all. And so, the question is, if during this holacha, you have in mind to be zorek the dam that fell on the floor tomorrow, what's the impact that that machshava has? Can you say it's a machshavet pigol? Because you can't go get the dam, put it on the mizbeach, that's a chilat mizbeach, and you're having a machshava about it, and therefore it is deemed to be pigol. On the other hand, maybe since you have no mitzvah, no obligation to pick up that dam, then it's as if it's holech li'ibud and you don't have to do anything with it, and therefore there's no machshavet pigol associated with it. That's the question Ravasi posed to Rabbi Yochanan according to the Balei HaTosafot. In Amalei, Rabbi Zera pipes up and says, Kvar shanita lanu, you already taught us that allow. Now, allow is something that is a discussion in the Gemara in Zvachim, as well as in Chulin, as to what the allow is. There are actually four or five different explanations that are given as to what the allow is. we'll go with the explanation that the halal is either the leftover basar that's on the hide that you flay from the animal. Once you take it over the hide, there are little pieces of basar that are left over there. That's called the halal. Or the Balei Tosafot over here say, halal hu gidat tzavar. It's a reference to the sinew that is in the neck, which is hard and basically leipe makshasha. It's not considered to be significant because it's not edible. Therefore, it's not considered or doesn't have any impact in terms of makshevet pigul. Even though, if you wanted to eat it, you could really boil it up and eat it. Nevertheless, in general, people do not eat this item because it's so hard and difficult to eat that it's considered to be waste or thrown away. There are other interpretations of what the halal is. It's residual basar or residual meat. But basically, it's something that people do not consider or people do not think about. That's the main concept here, because the Mishnah in Chulin says it with regards to Tumat Ochlim, that by Tumat Ochlim, the little pieces of basar, if you're machshiv them, if you have in mind to utilize them, or by the Gidat Tzavar, then it can have Tumat Ochlim. But if you don't have a machshava, it will not have Tumat Ochlim and not have Tumat Nivela. It's not considered to be basar. It's not considered to be a food item. Alma, Hayalal, came into Lepe Mashosha, Lo Mikabel Tuma. Since it's not considered as if it exists, therefore there is no Tumat Ochlim that is associated with it by default, or there's no Tumat Nevela that is associated by default. You have to have an active makshava to make it into something of significance, to make it into ochel. Tosafot does not like this little addition in the Gemara of Alma Hayalal came to Levi Mashasha Lo Mikabel Tuma, because that makes it sound like it's connected to that Mishnah in Chulin. And Tosafot says, I'm not sure why you had to bring that Mishnah in Chulin from Orva Rotev. Why don't you bring the Mishnah by Pigul? That speaks about Alal. So why do you need to speak about Tuma? Alal is also mentioned in the context of Zvachim with regards to Hashochet at the Zevach, Amenat Lechol Min Alal, Ein Chayim Min Alal Mishum Pigul. So Tosafot says it's a reference to that Mishnah in Zvachim, not the Mishnah in Chulin. The addition of the words that this is considered nothing with regards to Tuma makes it sound like you're referencing the Mishnah in Chulin. He says, why wouldn't you bring a Mishnah about Pigul when we're speaking about Pigul rather than a Mishnah about Tuma? That's just a side point that the Tosafot makes. Hani Nishpachim Nami. These Nishpachim are no different than the Halal. Kevin Deli Bud Azle Behu Machshava Lo Mahanyo. So since they are going to waste, thrown away, then Machshava has no impact on them. So since this dam is not going to end up on the Mizbeach, it's going to the Soda Mizbeach, not the core Mizbeach, that's the equivalent of going the Ibud. And anything that is going to the Ibud, it sounds like, they don't have a din of Machshava with regards to Pigul. Just like the Halal, which is the Ibud, Pigul or Machshevet Pigul has no impact if you thought to eat these Halal tomorrow. That's not going to have an effect of making the item into Pigul, because we consider it as if it is Avud, lost, gone completely. And if that's the case, the same thing should be true of the Dama Nishpachim. They're considered to be lost or gone. Once the Zvika has been done, that which is left over is going to the Yisod Mizbeach, which is basically wiped out or not meaningful because it's not going to be used on the Mizbeach anymore. It's not Achilat Adam, and we're not going to classify it as Achilat Mizbeach in that context. And therefore, you cannot have a Machshevet Pigul on it. El Diktani El Avud V'Asaruf Kasho. Well, if that's the way that you explain Rav Asi over here, and the way he asked Rabbi Yochanan the question, and the way that Rabbi Zeira responded to him, then what do we do with the statement that he had from his peers in the Gola, that Al Avud V'Asaruf Kasho? That's really problematic. So that's a stira within the position of Rav Asi, because now we see that Rav Asi says, Avud, you can't have a machshav on it, even though Rav Asi brings from his peers in the Gola that mechashvin avud v'ala saruf, that you can't have a machshevet pigul, the avud and the saruf. So that's the stira within Rav Asi. So Amarava, ema al ha'omeid li'ibud v'al omeid li'saref. It's not literally something that is avud, and it's not literally something that is burnt up, but something that will be lost, something that will be nisraf. At the time of Zrika, when you had machshava on these items, since they have yet to be lost or burnt up, Mechani mehu machshava. Therefore, the machshava has impact on them. But in our case, over here, where the basar is already outside and is already lost, over there, the zrika can't have impact. That's how we'll reconcile all these statements. First of all, Ravasi believes that avud and saruf, you cannot have effective pigul machshava on them. That's the question that he posed to Rabbi Yochanan with regards to nishpachin. And the answer, Rabbi Zera from Alau, that tells you things that are ibud, things that are lisareif, machshavat pigul is not impactful on them. So then, what do you do with the peers of the Gola that say that you can't have machshava avud v'saruf? Rava says, you got to amend that to read, al omeid lisareif va'omeid liibud. Something that will in the future be burnt, or something that in the future will be lost, those items, makshevet pigul, does impact, because currently they're sitting in front of us. And if you believe this whole thing was a question from Vasi on Rabbi Yochanan, that'll also answer our question, because in the case where you'll say kulo, that's kvar ibud, that's already lost. If it's already lost, then even Ravasi agrees that there's no makshava that you can have on it. That's why Rabbi Yochanan's statement is you need at least mixato to be here, in order for Rabbi Akiva's position to be effective. And so now we've reconciled all of these items. Yotzei is Ibud. Ibud is out of range in terms of Mechshevet Pigol. And if you think this was connected to before, it's also out of range for Zrikat Adam to take off the Mi'ilah. Something that is here now and in the future will be lost, there you can have Mechshevet Pigol. There you can have the Zrika impact on the item. Now Tosafot just adds in over here that the omeid li'ibud is the following scenario. Rashi does not say this. Rashi just says, in the future, it will get lost, or in the future, it will be saruf. But at the time that you did the avoda, they were present, they were there. And only in the future do we find out that they were lost to saruf. Maybe retroactively, that should mean that they were avud v'saruf. The chiddush is that we don't consider them that way. The Balei Tosafot tighten up the case a little bit and say that you can't say that it was something where they didn't know at the time, but they found out later. Why should that matter? Then it's stuff is here now. Of course it works. Everything eventually is going to be avud and saruf, or is going to disappear. So then why should that have impact? So Tosafot says it's literally a case where it's omeid liibud or omeid lisaruf, which is kagon shechishev b'shat kabbalah al davar omeid lisaref uliibud kodem zrika. He has machshava during kabbalat adam on something that will be burnt or disappear before the Zrikat Adam. But at the point of the time of Machshava, it's not lost yet. He threw meat, or he threw a murim to a dog, or he threw them into the furnace. But they have yet to reach the mouth of the dog. Maybe you threw it past him, you threw it on the floor, he's about to eat it. Or it hasn't entered the furnace yet. It's sitting on the edge of the furnace at the time of Machshava. So that is something that you are certain is going to get ruined. You are certain it's going to disappear. It's not like Rashi, which is, oh, we found out later that it disappeared, and therefore, oh, it was Omeid Lisareif and Omeid Libud. Rather, you know at the time that you have the Machshava that this will not be around by the time you get to Zrika. So the question is, when you have a Machshava about this item that you know for certain is going to disappear, what is the din with regards to that? Is it present now, and therefore your makshava is impactful, even though it will disappear in the future? Or, since it will disappear in the future, and you know that it's going to happen, then it's kisaruf or avud dami. And that's what the peers are saying, that you can't have a makshava avud v'saruf, which Rav Bava interprets to mean alomeid lisaref, alomeid liibud, which means even items where you are certain they will not be around afterwards, you can still have a makshava when they are present. As long as they are present now, you can have a makshava on them that is impactful. Now, what's interesting about this is that that means that when it comes to the makshavet pigul, you don't actually have to have the capacity to carry out your makshava. It's the makshava itself that is problematic. You want to eat these items tomorrow. This basar that the dog's about to eat, you're having a mind to eat it tomorrow. You will never be able to eat it tomorrow because of the fact that you know that it's going to be gone by tomorrow. Nevertheless, the machshava that you have, according to this Balei Tosafot, is sufficient to make it into pigul because of the fact that you had the improper machshava. You see from here, it's not your capacity to carry out what you're saying. It is the machshava that you want to do such a thing. that makes it into pigul. But in the scenario where there is no basar here, and you have such a machshava, it won't work. Because the machshava has to be about something that is present or extant currently. And so even though it's a machshava, but since there you can't carry out the machshava, or the item isn't around, it's an invalid machshava. So it's a interesting dynamic by which, if the item is there, even though you'll never be able to carry out the machshava can be impactful. If the item is not present, then your machshava is meaningless. Even though it's all about the machshava anyway, still, the item needs to be present enough so that your machshava is chal on something, even though you'll never be able to carry out that machshava. As opposed to the case where he has a machshava pigul, but he really wants to put it on the mizbeach in the proper time. So even though he says it, his intent is to put it on the mizbeach at the right time. Over there, his machshava will not be impactful. And the difference between them is that in the case where the basar is lost or burnt up, in that situation, his inability to carry out his machshava is only the lack of the item. Had the item been here, he would have been able to carry it out. On the other hand, in the case where the item is here, and he's going to put it on the mizbeach at the right time, he just has a machshava pigul, then that intent to put it on the mizbeach at the right time really undermines or offsets the machshava pigul, and therefore the machshava pigul is not effective. And obviously Rashi will disagree with that point and say, if you know it's going to be lost, then your machshava can't be meaningful because you have something here in front of you or evidence in front of you of something that undermines your machshava. In the case where you don't know and it only happens after the fact, there your machshava can be effective because you didn't know it was going to be lost. You didn't know it was going to be burnt. But had you known it, how can you have a machshava that undermines reality? All right, so either, again, Rabbi Yochanan's statement stood from the beginning and we had no questions about it, or Rabbi Yochanan's challenge by Rabbi Asi. And now we've answered that problem by saying that even Rav Asi is soter himself. In order to reconcile the two statements of Rav Asi, we now need to say that Rav Asi's statement with regards to Mechashvin al Avud Vesaruf wasn't literally Avud Vesaruf, but something that was Omed Libud, Omed Lisrof. In our situation, Rabbi Yochanan, we're dealing with something that is gone. Meaning that once it's Yotze, completely, the item doesn't exist as far as we are concerned for the Korban. And therefore, even Rabbi Kiba would agree that the Zrika is not effective in that case to remove the Mi'ilah. If you believe that Rabbi Yochanan's statement was independent, then Rabbi Yochanan was done from the beginning, and now we're just dealing with Rav Asi within the issue of Ibud, Saruf, and Pigul, when is Machshevet Pigul effective and when it's not effective. Now we move on to a new statement about Rabbi Kiba's position, which is Amar Papa, Lo Amar Rabbi Kiba Zrikat Mohelot Yotzei, Elishi Yatzab Basar. That's only true if the basar was the thing that left the azara. And now you're trying to have that zrika be effective in removing the mi'ilah. Aval dam, if the dam leaves the azara, the yotze was not about the basar, but the dam itself, ein zrika moelet the yotze. Then the zrika has no impact or is not effective at taking off the problem of mi'ilah for the basar that went out. Tanya nami ochi, we have a braita that supports that contention, which is shachat b'shtika, if he did shchita without any problematic machshava, b'yatzah dam, and after shchita, the dam ends up outside the azara, afa b'shechazar b'zarko, even though now it's back here, and we put it on the mizbeach, lo atzah v'lo klum, it has no impact, and therefore, by kodshei kodoshim, mo'alim bo, by kodshei kodoshim, there's still mi'ilah, because the zrika was not effective at removing the mi'ilah, kodshim kalim, ain't mo'alim bo. And with regards to kodshim kalim, it's not effective in bringing the mi'ilah to the forefront, which is the emurim are not made into something that is mi'ilah now. That's supportive of this contention of Rav Papa, that when the dam is yotze, it's not effective in changing the status of mi'ilah. That's whether to have mi'ilah be removed from the item, or whether to have mi'ilah devolve upon the item. This is not an effective zrika. The difference being, and this is what we said yesterday, is that when you're dealing with a kosher zrika can have broad-ranging impact, because since the zrika is effective, then once it's effective, then we can say maybe it impacts on the mi'ilah of the basar yotze, because that's a powerful zrika. On the other hand, when you have a zrika psula, for instance, the examples before were the cases of pigul, over here we're talking about yotze, then already you're dealing with a subpar performance within the zrika. That type of zrika is not powerful enough then to try to deal with things that also have a psula associated with them. They can't even deal with the items that are here or present. The zrika, that's psula, is not going to be matir the basar that's inside, or let alone the basar that's on the outside. So the zrika, in order for it to have that type of power, needs to be a kosher zrika, and then you can speak about its power to infect things that are psulim. But if you're dealing with a zrika psula can't even deal with items that are kosher, then certainly it's not going to deal with items that are psulim. And so that's why it's ineffective when the dam itself goes out. Amar Rabbi Akiva, hazeh namad domeh. So Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah yesterday brought an example of a case where we seemingly see the dam, or we got the dam of one item, impacts on another item that is pasul. And he brings that as his evidence against Rabbi Eliezer's position. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, ki amar Akiva bevat achat. Mentioned this yesterday in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Akiva believes that the shechita of the two chataot that you segregated out has to be done simultaneously. Aval b'zeh chazer, lo amar Rabbi Akiva. But if they are done sequentially, then Rabbi Akiva clearly does not believe that that is true. He's uncertain, Tosafot, as to what the case of batachat is. Are we dealing with a very long knife, where he shechted both chataot in one shot? Or the way that Rashi explains it, and Tosafot also brings the possibility, you have two kohanim that are doing the shechita, and they do them at the same time, and therefore it's done bevat achat. So it's a question as to how you got to the bevat achat, but clearly he believes that it must be done bevat achat, because when they are done bevat achat, they are both re'uyim lemizbeach. That's the concept that Rabbi Akiva is pointing out, which is when you shech both chataot, at this point, the zrika d'adam from each of these is qualified to go on the mizbeach, because both of them are re'uy to be his chatat. It's only once one of their dam reaches the mizbeach that the other one becomes a motor chatat and is disqualified. So what we want to do is keep it as qualified as possible all the way to the moment where we determine which one is the chatat and which one is motor chatat. The only way to do that is to shecht both of them so they're both available. If you only shechted one and then you did the zrika to dam that one, then they do the next one, it's clear the next one is already a motor chatat and the zrika, the first one's going to have no impact over here. Now, Tosafot has a suffix as to the in-between case. I gave you the two extreme cases. One is bevat achat, they were shechted. The other one is where you shecht one, do the zrika the dam, and then you shecht the other. There it's clear that they're not going to be connected. Tosafot says, what about the case where you shecht one, then you do the kabbalat dam, and you don't do anything? Then you shecht the second one, do the kabbalat dam, and you don't do anything. In that case, is that considered to be zek or zeh, and it won't work? Or is that considered to be bevat achat? Because they both were available at one point to do zrika tadam, because ratza zurek mizeh, ratza zurek mizeh. You can do the zrika from this one, or you can do the zrika from the other one. So Tosafot is uncertain as to whether the situation of batachat is literally batachat, or even when they're sequential, as long as you haven't done the zrika tadam of the first one, and you've then checked that the second one, is that could still considered to be batachat. Alright, so now the Gemara says, Tanya, I'm a Rabbi Shimon, kishalachti the kfar pani, when I went to this location, v'tzahani zaken achad, an elder, a Talmud Chacham, found me, v'amarlei, omer Rabbi Akiva, did Rabbi Akiva really say, zrika mo'elet yotze? Like we find in our Mishnah. Did he really say such a thing, that zrika helps things that are yotze? Amarti lohein? So Rabbi Shimon, a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, said, yes, that's what he says. Ukshibati v'yirtzeti dvarim lifnei chaveri raish begalil. And when I went and told over these items or this information to my friends in the Galil, Amrli, they said to me, "Falo pasul, isn't it already pasul? Heyach miratze ala psul. How is it possible that you can have the zrikat adam be effective at removing a psul?" The Shita Mikubetzet over here adds in a Amrlo that the Zakein spoke up again. The way that our Girsa reads, it's Rabbi Shimon is the one who went and said over this story between him and the Zakein to the peers in the Galil, and then they asked him the question about, isn't it Pasul? How is it the Zrikat Adam is effective? The way that Shita Mekubetzet has the Girsa is, Amarlo, then the Zakein says to him, he tells him a story. Says the Zakein says, when I went to the Galil, then my friends asked me, based on this Shita of Rabbi Akiva, how does it work? Because you have something that's pasul, how can the dam have a ritzui to impact on the basar that is already pasul? So there's a difference in the girsa as to whether it's Rabbi Shimon saying that this question was posed to him, or it's whether Rabbi Shimon is telling over the story that the Zakein told him that this question was posed to him. Then, ukshu yatzati v'yatzati dvarim lifnei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon eventually ends up in front of Rabbi Akiva, and presents this situation that he faced in front of Rabbi Akiva. Now, it's also possible that this is a continuation of the story of the Zakein. That depends, again, if whether you have the Girsa and the Gemara, Ukushi Yatzati. Since Ukushi Yatzati, it sounds like Rabbi Shimon left the Zakein. If you leave out Ukushi Yatzati, which is the Girsa that the Shittim Kubetzit notes, then it would just be Ukushi Bati Vihiritzati. When I came in, offered these words, or explained this in front of Akiva, so that means it could be a continuation of the statement before, and it could be the Zakein that's speaking over here, that when I came before Rabbi Akiva, and I told him what the people of the Galil said, this is the information I found out. It's all either a story that Rabbi Shimon's telling the whole story, and it's about this Zakein who had this interaction with Rabbi Shimon, and then told him about his story with Rabbi Akiva, or he has a smaller interaction with the Zakein, and then Rabbi Shimon is the one who either says, I went to the Galil, or even if the Zakein says he went to the Galil, it's eventually Rabbi Shimon ends up in front of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva says, Yata Omer Kane, you don't agree with me? Vare. And now Rabbi Akiva brings his evidence to his position. Hamafrish chatato v'abda. Someone is mafrish chatat and gets lost. Bifrish acheret takta. And then he brings another chatat to replace it. Then he finds the original ones. He has both of them available. Both of them are available. Moalim b'shtehem. They both have kedusha, and therefore there's mi'ilah associated with both of them. They are kodshei kodoshim. So from the moment of Ekdesh, there is an issue of mi'ilah. Shachatan, if he shechs them, assuming now he shechs them bevat achat, whatever that bevat achat means. Vare daman munach b'kosot. And now they have dam in one coast for the first one, and down in the second coast for the other one. Mo'alim b'shtehem. You still have mi'ilah that's associated with both of them. Nizrak dam shel echad mehem. Once you do zrikat adam of one of them, i'atem modeh shekashem shedama poteret b'sarat min ha'ilah. Don't you agree that just like the dam of the one that you did the zrikat adam for releases it from mi'ilah, like every other korban chatat, when you do zrikat adam, it releases it from mi'ilah, Afiftor basar chavreta min ha'mi'ilah. Simultaneously, the effectiveness of the zrika will be impactful not only on the animal itself that the zrika adam is being done for, but also on chavreta, that it will remove the mi'ilah from the other animal, the motar chatat. Im hitzil basar chavreta min ha'mi'ilah, if it is effective at removing the mi'ilah from its friend, af of hu pishu pasul, even though that other chatat now is clearly pasul, it's a motar chatat, because he put the first one on the mizbeach, the zrikat adam for it, the second one becomes a motar chatat. Dinhu, shiatzila b'sara. Then certainly it should be able to save its own basar, which is yotzei, is outside, it's pasul, but it should save it. If it can remove mi'ilah from another korban, which is pasul, then certainly it can remove mi'ilah from its own basar that is pasul. That's the evidence that Rabbi Akiva brought. Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Hoshaya, Tshuva Gnuva Heshivo. That was a sneaky answer that Rabbi Akiva gave him. Aluma Mechusa. He gave him a hidden or not comprehensible answer. He gave him, or he tried to convince him of the answer, but there are no legs to this answer. Now, Tosafot sort of softens the statement of Reish Lakish. The statement at face value is that Rabbi Akiva pulled the wool over the eyes of Rabbi Shimon or the Zakein, depending on who he is speaking to, because the cases are not the same. We'll see in a second. The Baalei Tosafot soften that and say, what Reish Lakish was saying is, obviously Rabbi Akiva's answer is proper, but the language does not support what is being said over here. Velo levadi storat tshuva sheshiv Rabbi Akiva leRabbi Shimon. It's clear here that he's not coming to undermine the answer that Rabbi Akiva gave to Rabbi Shimon. Devada yafeh heshivo. He gave him a good answer. Ela lashon einu miyushav yafeh. The language is not so clear because of this distinction that you made with regards to bat achat versus zeh or zeh. The Tosafot softens the statement of Rabbi Lakish, not to say that Rabbi Akiva's answer in itself is inherently problematic. It's just that the language doesn't support what we're saying. Tshuvah gnuvah yeshivo Rabbi Akiva lo tol talmid. Bevat achat in bezach hazer lo. Why should it work when it's done bevat achat and not work when it's bezach hazer? Came into pasulhu. Mali bevat achat. Mali bezach hazer. once the other animal is pasul, either it is effective or it's not effective in removing it. Why should it matter that it's bevat achat, or why should it matter if it's bezechazet? If it's able to overcome the problem of the psul of the other item, then it should be able to overcome it whether the other item was shechted at the same time, whether the other item is shechted afterwards. It should make no difference. It should be able to remove the mi'ilah from that item. And that's what Reish Lakish is upset about, is that this distinction between badachat and zechazeh is not a good distinction. Tosfot says that Reish Lakish is not undermining Rabbi Akiva's position. He's just saying that you can't say that it's only bevat achat. That the fact that he said bevat achat doesn't seem to be right. It should be zechazeh. Others will say that it's a more fundamental question, which is, just like it doesn't work with zechazeh, it shouldn't work with vadachat. It's the reverse question. It's not the fact, oh yeah, if it works with vadachat, it should also work with zechazeh. Basically he's saying it's just like it doesn't work with zechazeh, it doesn't work with vadachat. If that's the case, then Rabbi Akiva's answer is not a good answer. So those are the two ways to read Reish Lakish's question. Is it a just nuanced question on the language of Rabbi Akiva, saying that it should work not just with vadachat, but zechazeh as well? Or is it a fundamental question, which is saying, just like it doesn't work with zechazeh, it shouldn't work bevat achat. Now, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, ve'ata yata omer kein? You don't agree with Rabbi Akiva says here that there's a difference between bat achat and zechazeh? Ilui frish shtei hashamot la'achrayut. Had a person separated out two hashamot, it was chayav and hasham, and he separated out from the outset two hashamot la'achrayut to be sure that he gets his korban on the mizbeach, so he has a backup that is in place. Both of them are available. Whichever one he gets on will be his asham. The other one will be a motar asham. And as Rashi points over here, the fact that it mentions shnei ashamot is not exclusive about ashamot. It's also true if you had two chataot, because a chatat is more chamur than asham. So certainly if this is true by an asham, it's going to be true by a chatat. And don't read any significance into the fact that Rabbi Yochanan mentioned an asham over here. So had he separated or segregated out two hashamot, v'shachat et shnehen, and he shechs both of them, v'kadam ve'ala imurim shel achad mehem kodem zrika, and he took the imurim of one of them before the zrika d'adam, i'ata mudeh, don't you agree, shimalu yirdu, that if they go on the mizbeach, they come off the mizbeach, because they're not ra'oi for the mizbeach. Zrika d'adam is the matir for imurim to go on the mizbeach. Absent the zrika d'adam, then the emurim imalu yerdu. They got to come off the mizbeach. V'isagadat chachad gufahu. If you believe that we treat the two entities as a single item, amai imalu yerdu. Then why, if they go on the mizbeach, you got to take them down? V'amar ula. We have a statement from ula. Imurei kodshim kalim. So this is not about an ashamot or a chataot. This is about kodashim kalim. That if you have the emurim of kodashim kalim, she'alan lifnei zrikat dam. They were put on the Mizbeach before Zrikat Dam. Similar scenario. Emorim on the Mizbeach before Zrikat Dam. Lo Yerdu. They don't come off the Mizbeach. Nase Lachmo Shel Mizbeach. They become the food of the Mizbeach. And retroactively, when you do the Zrikat Dam, they will then be considered Lachem HaMizbeach. Ishtik. Reish Lakish was silenced by this question. What Rabbi Yochanan is pointing out is, there is a difference between what we call Bat Achat and Zechazeh. And I'm going to bring you evidence of the fact that there is such a distinction, because your thesis is that when you have the two chataot that Rabbi Akiva was speaking about, they're considered to be a guf echad. They're one unit. Since they are one unit, when you do zrikat dam of one of them, it automatically removes the milah from the other one. That's Reish Lakish's logic. Based on that, Reish Lakish says, I don't understand why you would distinguish between bat achat and zechazeh. If they're all considered to be one unit, whether you do them or process them simultaneously, or you process them sequentially, it shouldn't matter. Since they're considered or classified as a single unit, the Zrika d'Adam of one of them should remove the Milah from both of them, because they're considered to be one big Korban. And even though one of them is a Chatat and Motar Chatat, we're looking at them as a unit. Once they're a unit, you do Zrika d'Adam of one of the Chataot, that should release it from Milah, and the other one from Milah, irrespective of whether it was done b'vat achat or b'zechazeh. That's Reish Lakish's claim. They're a guf achat. They're a single entity, and that's what precipitates the ability for the zrika d'adam of one to affect the other. And in the Shita Mekubetzet Ot Vav, the Rabbeinu Shmuel Mivardin points out that there is a limitation to this concept that the Zrika of one can impact on the other. That's for only things that are pre-Zrika. Things that are post-Zrika, there's already a definition to each of the items, and the one that had the Zrika done by it will be impacted by its Zrika. The one that didn't have the Zrika will not be impacted. And therefore, they're only classified as a unit or classified as being able to affect each other for those things that transpire prior to Zrikat Adam. What Rabbi Yochanan points out is, your logic is actually not correct. It's not because they're a Guf Echad. There's a reason that it works here is because it's Bevad Achat and not Zecher Zeh. They argue fundamentally is how the Chataot work. Reish Lakish is saying the Chataot work to help each other because we can look at them as a single entity. Rabbi Yochanan says we don't look at them as a single entity. What makes them work over here is the Bat Achat aspect of them. Since they were both Ra'oi the Zrika, when you do the Zrika Dam of one of them, it then, because they were both there in potential, it then releases both of them at that moment, the Zrika Dam of one of them. The difference of the Nafkamino in how you articulate that is the case of Zecher Zeh. For Reish Lakish, the case of Zecher Zeh should be no different than the case of Bat Achat, because it's Guf Echad. It's Guf Echad. It's a Guf Echad when you do it together. It's a Guf Echad when you do it separately. Rabbi Yochanan says that's not correct. The reasoning over here has to do with the fact that it's done b'vad achat. They were processed b'vad achat. Since they're both ra'oi l'zrika, that's what joins them together. Had you done it zecher zeh, would not work because they would not both be ra'oi at the same time. And therefore, the zrika adam of one would not affect the other. My evidence that I'm correct, the logic that I'm saying is correct, is this situation in which if you put the emorim of what will be the motor chatat, or in the case that we brought an example, the motor asham on the mizbeach, and you put those on before the zrika adam of the other one that you're going to process. So in the case of the ashamot, you have two ashamot, and you shechted both of them. You took the emorim from one of them, put them on the mizbeach, and then you did the zrika adam from the other one. Over there we say, emorim come off the mizbeach. Emorim come off the mizbeach, but don't we have a position that Ula tells us that if you put emorim of a korban on the mizbeach before you do zrika adam, that's okay. You don't have to take them off the mizbeach. The asun lach moshe mizbeach. Why is that? Because we consider it to be just an early placement of the emorim on the mizbeach. Zrikat adam is matir, and then in the future that zrikat adam will be matir the emorim to the mizbeach. When it's the zrikat adam of the same animal, it will allow those emorim to remain on the mizbeach. But in the case where it's two animals, we say no. According to you, Reish Lakish, there should be no difference. If it's guf echad, then it should be viewed as one animal. If it's viewed as one animal, then why is the din different by one animal than it is by two animals? Evidence that you're wrong, and I am correct. The distinction is between Bat Achat and Zecher Zeh, not about whether it's a Guf Echad or not a Guf Echad. The problem here is that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, the question that he poses to Reish Lakish is really a problem for himself. Because even in the situation where it's done by Bat Achat, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that the dam of one is effective at removing the Me'ilah of the other, but he does not think that the emurim of one that goes on the mizbeach, the zrika adam of the other one, after that fact, will allow those emurim to stay on the mizbeach. And emalo, the yerdu, those emurim of the motor chatat need to come off the mizbeach. So then Rabbi Yochanan himself, how does he explain that distinction? And if you want to say that there is a difference between the dam that is effective for mi'ilah versus the dam that is effective for the emurim, then if you make that distinction to explain to Rabbi Yochanan, then Rabbi Yochanan's question in Reish Lakish drops away. Because his question is from the emurim, and Reish Lakish's statement is about the dam. So if you want to say there's a distinction between them, then the question is no longer a relevant question. What you have to say is that the zrikat adam, in order to be effective with the mi'ilah, all the zrikat adam needs to do is release the kodoshe Hashem. And releasing Kodesh Hashem means that you as the person have accomplished what you needed to accomplish. And since you've accomplished that item, the Kodesh Hashem Memeila is removed from these items. That's whether it's the Chatat or the Motor Chatat, because Ibai Zarekai, you could have done the Zrika from either one of them. That possibility in of itself makes it that once you do Zrika from one of them, it's impactful on the other to remove the Me'ila. Whereas when it comes to emorim, the zrika adam, it has to be an effective zrika adam where it is matir the emorim. And that's only true of a korban to itself. That's not true of multiple korbanot. You can't have the matir of one korban be matir the other emorim or allow the other emorim to get on the mizbeach. That's the way Rabbi Yochanan will make a distinction between these two scenarios, even with Vat Achat. But the question stands for Reish Lakish because he believes that it's Guf Echad. And gufecha means that it should be irrespective of whether you're speaking about removing of me'ilah or placing the emurim on the mizbeach. It's all one big korban. And one big korban, the zrikat adam, should be effective for both of those issues on both of the korbanot. And so therefore, Reish Lakish was silenced by Rabbi Yochanan's point. Am Rabbi Yochanan, kitzat tinun, ragloi dianoka. We sliced out, we cut out the legs from under the young one. He's referring to Reish Lakish, who was younger than him. Although they were eventually peers, he was also at some point a Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan. Rashi does bring an alternate girsa that it's not to Yanoka, but rather Lishnachrina didaika, didaik koyit, that we cut out the legs from under the one who made the diuk, implying that his diuk is incorrect. Or if you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, and the Shita Mikubetzet also quotes this in Ot Tetzayin, they suggest that it is, Katsatzito on the Regloi, the Dain, the Koi Hacha. We cut out the legs of the one who is standing here, who is in front of us. Obviously a reference to Reish Lakish, who was posing the question. And so Rabbi Yochanan says, we cut out the legs from under Reish Lakish, maybe even a play on Reish Lakish's statement on Shuva Gnuvai, Shivo Rabbi Akiva, Lit Oto Tamid. Rabbi Akiva gave a difficult or ambiguous, unclear answer to the Talmid, and Rabbi Yochanan comes back to him and says, no, Reish Lakish, you're the one who's unclear, not Rabbi Akiva, because your position doesn't hold up to the test of when we look at Emurim. The Guf Echad thesis is not the way that this works, and therefore it must be a difference between Bat Achat and Zeh Echad Zeh. Now we have the new Mishnah. Maseh Damim, B'Kodshei Kodoshim, L'Hakel U'L'Hachmir. The act of Zrikat Adam by Kodshei Kodoshim has impact with regards to Me'ilah and other items, L'Hakel, to lighten certain things, to release certain things, U'L'Hachmir, and to make other things more problematic or more stringent. B'Kodoshim Kalim, on the other hand, by Kodoshim Kalim, Kulu U'L'Hachmir. It always is L'Chumra. Ketzad. Let's understand what that means. What's the scenario? Kodeshei kodeshim lifnei zrikat damim, mo'alim be'emurihem u'bevasar. But kodeshei kodeshim, we said that kodeshei kodeshim are subject to mi'ilah from the moment of hektesh. And that mi'ilah affects both the emurim and the basar. La'achar zrikat damim, after the zrikat damim is already done, mo'alim be'emurihem, ve'ein mo'alim be'basar. You can have mi'ilah on the emurim, because the emurim remain kodeshei Hashem, because they're going to go on the mizbeach. So they haven't changed their status. But the basar now is released from the mi'ilah, because the basar before was a part and parcel of the animal that was hektesh, therefore was subject to mi'ilah. Once you've separated between the emurim and the emurim are going to mizbeach, the basar is going to the kohanim or the ba'alim, and therefore there's no mi'ilah. So that's the hakel. The fact that the basar is released from mi'ilah. The chumrah part is, your machshevet pigul will be impactful on both the emurim and on the basar. Or also the possibilities that you can have a machshevet pigul with regards to the emurim and the basar. It's both. The machshevet pigul can happen on the basar and the emurim, because one's achilat adam, one's achilat mizbeach. And the impact of pigul will be felt on both the emurim and the basar, that once it's pigul, it's mifagel, both items. And therefore, the basar is subject to a chiyum karet, to be eaten, and the emurim won't go on the mizbeach. So there you see that it has impact both the hakel by me'ilah, and lachmir by pigol notar v'tameh. Ube kodoshim kalim, kulan lachmir. The zrikat adam by the kodoshim kalim is all the lachmir. Ketzad, how is that scenario? That is because kodoshim kalim lifnei zrikat adamim ein mo'alin. Lo be'emurim, v'lo be'basar. That's what we spoke about earlier, that kodshim kalim have no din of mi'ilah from the time of Ekdesh. They are not subject to mi'ilah until l'achar zrikat damim. Once you have the zrikat damim, mo'alim be'emurim, ve'en mo'alim be'basar. You can have mi'ilah by the emurim, because they are now kodshei Hashem going to mizbeach. The basar, like it was all along, is the mamon balim, belongs to the balim or to the kohanim, and therefore it's not subject to mi'ilah. So the Zrikat Adam triggers the Me'ilah on the Emurim. That's what we call Huvrara Davar. The item now has been designated or segregated out to be dedicated to Hashem. Alzeh ve'alzeh chayavin alav mishum pigol notar v'tameh. Whether it's the Emurim or the Basar, they're subject to pigul, notar, and tamei. Nimtza, maseh damim b'kodeshim kalim, kulan achmir. You see there, b'kodeshim kalim, everything is to the chumrah side. Now, the Gemara is midayek out of the Mishnah. It says, k'tani, ein mo'alim b'basar. So it says in the first part of the Mishnah, b'kodeshim kodeshim, when you do this rikat adam, there's no mi'ilah by the basar. The diuk they're making is mi'ilahu deleka. It doesn't have a din of mi'ilah, ha'isura ika. But there still is an isura associated with it. V'amai. Why is there an isur over here? Ha'mamona de koinu. It belongs to the kohen. Here it's kodshei kodashim in the first part of the Mishnah. That's why it says that it's mamona de kohen, because only the kohanim zecharim are the ones that eat from the kodshei kodashim. It belongs to the kohen. It's for him to eat. Why should there be any isur associated with it with regards to mi'ilah? Okay, there is no din of mi'ilah, but there should also be no isur associated with it. Why should there be a residual isur? The problem is that it belongs to the kohen. If you take it, then you're stealing from the kohen. But otherwise, there shouldn't be any isur, and it's a monetary issue, not an isur issue. So Gemara says, lokasha, that's not a problem. Shum that nasiv reisha mo'alim, nasiv seifa ein mo'alim. Because the first part of the Mishnah that said with regards to pre-zrikat adam, it says there, mo'alim b'basar uba imurim. Post the zrika, it says, ein mo'alim. Not to be midayek, ein mi'ilah, but there is isur. It's just a parallel structure. In the first part, it's saying mo'el, that there is mi'ilah. In the second part, he's saying, there isn't mi'ilah, but no significance to making a deal. The problem is, zema seifa. What about by the kodshim kalim? Kulu lachmir, keitzad, basar kodshim kalim, lifnei zrikat damim. There's no mi'ilah by the basar and the imurim. Vein chayvin aleim mishum pigol notar v'tamei. There is no din of pigol notar v'tamei. Lachar zrikat damim. After the zrikat adamim, mo'alim be'imurim, vein mo'alim be'basar. There is mi'ilah be'imurim, no mi'ilah be'basar. Mi'ilahu deleka, ha'isura'ika. From here again, you would make the diuk that there is no mi'ilah, but there is isur. Now, with regards to pre-zrika, that diuk makes sense. Because pre-zrika, even though there's no din of mi'ilah, it makes sense there's an isur. This is kodashim kalim that is supposed to be brought to the mizbeach and processed. So there should be an isur for you interacting or misappropriating or getting a noah from that kodashim kalim. That makes sense that there's an isur. But to say post the zrikat adam, that the basar doesn't have mi'ilah but does have an isur, why would you say that? Bamai hamamona de balimu. But kodashim kalim mostly belong to the balim. There's parts that belong to the kohen, but mostly belong to the balim. It's his own item. So yes, there's theft if you take it away from him, but why should there be an isur associated with it? Over here, you can't answer parallel structure. Because over here, in the reisha part, it doesn't say mo'alim. In the reisha part, it says ein mo'alim. So there, if you're going to keep the parallel structure, ein mo'alim, then in the latter part, it should say ein isur. Or if you say ein mo'alim, it's going to be similar to the ein mo'alim of the first part before Zrika, which is ein mo'alim, but there is an isur. And there, you can't claim, because it said mo'alim, it says ein mo'alim, because it said ein mo'alim already beforehand. So I'm Rabbi Chanina liyotzin v'Rabbi Akivai. This din of ein mo'alim means no mi'ilah but isur ika is the scenario of where the basar left the azara, and it's according to Rabbi Akiva who says that zrika adam is effective on the basar that left the azara. Ki amar Rabbi Akiva zrika mo'elet, where Rabbi Akiva says the zrika adam is effective on the basar yotzei. That's the yotzei l'sreifa. That's to stop or to mitigate the necessity to be sreif the item. Kodashim that are pasul require sreifa right away. So now the zrika adam, Rabbi Akiva says, is effective on impacting on the basar yotzei. It removes the mi'ilah from it. And it also says, don't burn it right away. It's not considered to be psulei amukdashim anymore. And therefore, you have to wait until tubar tsurata, until the item loses its form or shape, and then you can burn it or rid yourself of it. But what it does is it softens the psul that is associated with them. What it doesn't do is, aval le'achila hu dulo miratzeh. But it's not successful enough that it will allow you to eat that basar that was yotzei. And so that's right. There is no mi'ilah over here because the dam released it from mi'ilah. Then there is an isura ika. There is still an isura over here of consuming it or getting enough from it because even though Rabbi Kiva believes by basar yotzei that the Zrika is effective in that Basar Yotzei, it has a limited impact or limited success. And that is, it will remove the Me'ilah, it will change it from Kodoshim Sulim that need burning immediately to something now that is problematic, but not Sulei Mukdashim, and therefore requires Tubar Tzurata, and not just Sreifa. It slows down, quote-unquote, the psul that's here. What it doesn't do is release it to be eaten by you. And if that's the case, then there is an Isur, or there should be a residual Isur for you to consume the item or for you to get Hana from the item. And that's how we explain the Diuk out of our Mishnah, that it's coming to tell you that in certain circumstances there may not be Milah, but there will be an Isur. And that circumstance is the case when the Basar is Yotzei, Lefi Rabbi Akiva, who believes that the Zrigat Adam is impactful on items that are Yotzei. But what we're saying here is it's limited in its efficaciousness to an impact on that Basar that is Yotzei. Now Tosafot over here brings this idea that Rashi indicates that it was the Basar and Israf is now mitigated and you have to do Tubar Tzurata. And he says about that, Velo Nira, Tamalo Laskir Ibur Tzura, Talob Ari Bey Rabbi Kiva. Why are we bringing up the issue of Ibur Tzura that Rabbi Kiva never mentioned and was not mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah? Va'od Kasha, the Pesachim Ashma Velo Mahanya Zrika, Leitz Tarech Ibur Tzura. And it sounds like from the Gemara Pesachim that the Zrika is not effective at requiring Ibur Tzura. Rather, you have to burn it right away. He says, V'nira l'farish, that when Rabbi Akiva says that Zrika is impactful on Yotzei, Klomar, V'nira dvorim amorim b'mishnah, that's the things that are mentioned in the Mishnah, L'akvuye b'pigol notar v'tamei, aval mikol makom l'sreifa azil miyad, t'lo poligam et niten. He doesn't argue on our Mishnah, he doesn't argue on the Mishnah M'sachim, he agrees that this thing is going to sreifa right away. So then what does it mean here that that means that it has impact on those items that will be nisraf because they are psulim uktashim. Nevertheless, it has impact. What impact? What our Mishnah said. Our Mishnah said there are certain impacts that happen when you do zrikat adam. One is, mi'ilah disappears. Number two is, pigol notar v'tamei are impactful. And that's what it's saying here. What Rabbi Akiva says that zrika is impactful on yotzei is for those items mentioned in the Mishnah. As far as anything else is concerned, it will be burnt normally right away, like any other Sulei HaMukdashim, and there will be no Heter Achilat. You can't eat it. It does not release it from the encumbrance of eating it, and therefore there is an Isur that remains with regards to some item, even though there may not be any Mi'ilah. And then the Shita Mekubetz and Zion explains then why did Rabbi Akiva use the Lashon of Sreifa. He says, Sfarim Mecherim have the following Girsa, Bahad Kamar the Sreifa. Why did he mention Sreifa? Achikamar. Klomar, Hadakamar Rabbi Kiva Zrika Moelet, the Yotzei, that Zrika is effective at impacting on the Yotzei, Mikol Makom, the Sreifa Omeid. Nevertheless, it is still subject to Sreifa, meaning that it still remains with the same din of Yotzei, that it's subject to Sreifa, that the Zrika is effective in remaining or leaving the item, the Sreifa. But the other items, it is impactful on. And those other items are pigol notar v'tamei, mi'ilah, but not la'achilah. With that, we finish the first perek. Hadron alach, kodoshei kodoshim.